Let me start out with a question for Phyllis Merritt. Phyllis, you working in home missions as a missionary, what do you feel about the opportunity of women as far as home missions is concerned?
As a woman, I was appointed as a home missionary, so I found the opportunities vast. But I know that there are women who do language work, there are women who do Christian social ministries, there are women who are U.S. tours. Lots of different kinds of opportunities are available for women. I will say, however, that some of the opportunities are limited by money, and that's probably the only limitation. The board doesn't consider being a woman a handicap. There are women in church extension as church planters, all sorts of things. But when there's not enough money, then the opportunities are not there. So you have to talk to your church about giving more to Annie. I do know that it is possible that perhaps you could get married and then be appointed as a twosome. The Home Mission Board gets two for the price of one that way.
That's a good answer. Two for the price of one, aren't we? Well, it's very different. I thought it was more than that, but I... Helen, do you want to say anything about that, the opportunities for women in home missions? I think there are a lot of young ladies here that really are concerned about this, and I think that we've got to be very honest. We can't say that all of the doors are as open as wide as we'd like for them to be, but I do think that there's some observations you might can make.
Right. Well, I agree with Phyllis as far as it's concerned concerning salary. When I was first appointed as a missionary, I served in Albuquerque and worked with Indian students there at an Indian school, and I had a wonderful experience. I was single and had a lot of opportunities there that I wouldn't have had now that I'm married, and I still work with students now. But I think if you're willing to go and you want to go through the Home Mission Board to serve as a single lady or a married woman, that the opportunity is there.
I want you to give us the opportunity at least to talk to you about it if you're interested, and we'll try to work with you on this. I think this is very important. By the way, Helen, what do you feel are the major three problems that are facing American Indian people today? If you had to pick out three, and maybe rank them, one, two, and three, what would you say are the three most important problems your people face?
Well, I think one of the major problems would be that of identification. We have Indian people that are moving from reservation to urban areas, and we have people who are living in urban areas that know nothing of their culture or their tradition, their various mores, and it makes it very difficult to know how to adjust to, it's like a whole new land, a whole new area, and that is a very difficult problem to know whether to be in a city Indian or a reservation Indian. Another problem is inadequate education. If you go to school on the reservation, you're about 2 years behind, and it's hard to transfer to a college or university and be able to maintain good grades. Another problem would be the health, which would involve your alcoholism problem and drug problem that's very prevalent among the Indian people.
All right, I want to talk to my young colleague here, David Benjamin, better known as Benj, not Benji, but Benj.
That's a dog.
That's a sorry joke, too. What would happen? Tell me, first of all, how you became appointed. I'd like to know how we slipped up on this. I really do have a question, David, opposed to you. Tell me a little bit about U.S. 2. Then tell me this. What would happen, what will happen to the work at Ohio State University after you finish? What are we going to do about that? I think that's extremely important.
Well, a lot of you know the U.S. 2 program is a way that young singles or couples, college graduates, can invest 2 years of their life in some kind of mission service here in the United States. College ministries is just one aspect of that. There's language missions, social ministries, church extension, resort work. You apply early in the year. They conduct interviews around the first of the year, and then you're appointed usually after college graduation. Most of us are just recent college graduates. I think you signed mine. the work at Ohio State is going to continue when I finish. I was concerned wherever I went to do something. I wanted to do something before I ever heard about US 2 program, that there'd be some continuity, that things would continue on when I was done, maybe even better than when I was there. And it's going to continue. They'll send another US tour to follow me, and if they have to, a third person after that. And the local people are working with us trying to get that full-time campus minister on Ohio State. Has 55,000 college students.
I was going to ask you, what is the difference between Ohio State and OBU? I guess about 52,000 students.
Yeah, there are some other differences. At the beginning of the year when we had our freshman fair, we set up a little booth in the student union right next to the Gay Alliance. I don't remember...
I wish you wouldn't use that word.
Did we ever have a Gay Alliance?
No.
I didn't think. I just thought maybe you knew.
I won't be able to work for the board after this is all right. I won't be able to get a job in the local church. Go ahead. No, this is interesting.
And there are some other differences. How do you get a handle on 55,000 students? And I think it's the key of any kind of ministry. It goes from person to person. I meet the students and I work with them. I become their friends. They respond to a live person who really cares. And I encourage my students to do that, to the people who live around them, the people they meet in classes. To be sensitive to them, aware of who they are.
He is one of the best cross-country runners I think we ever produced at OBU. Are you running any? Does this help you in your ministry? Can you use
this,
that?
This has helped some. When I go out running, I'll always try to catch up with somebody and go along and talk with them, find out where they live and who they are. And also I've got to link together with the track team there and the coaches and be an official at some meets and things like that.
That's great. Well, that's putting it on the line where it counts. And, of course, this is something that you can do, too. John, what are the greatest needs that you face in the state of New York? And I know that's a loaded question. That's a terrible question, as a matter of fact.
It is indeed, Dr. Tanner. Have you got about 2 hours?
Yeah, but your son wants to get your picture down here. Gary, would you get me in this with him?
That recognition is in lieu of any salary, Gary. I hope you enjoy that.
And on a land, John.
Yes. Dr. Tanner, as you're aware, we work very closely with the Home Mission Board in the territory of the Baptist Convention of New York, which, for the benefit of the students, actually covers parts of three states, the northern half of New Jersey, most of Fairfield County, Connecticut, and then, of course, all of New York State City and Long Island. Well, I'd have to say that an obvious great need is for the power of God to work in our midst. I think sometimes we talk about other needs and don't talk about the spiritual aspect. We need God to do something that we cannot do with our human resources and with all of the resources of the Home Mission Board and the cooperative program. But apart from that particular spiritual element, there is a very vital need in a tangible way to help us in our ministry to the student world. Bill Dunning, who is our director of campus ministry in the Baptist Convention of New York, informs me that we have 280 college campuses with 1,300,000 students in the territory of the Baptist Convention of New York. We've managed, with the help of the Home Mission Board and the Sunday School Board and student ministries, through volunteers and three full-time student men to penetrate 56 or 7 of those campuses with some kind of ministry. Many of them have absolutely no Christian ministry of any sort. And the thing that sort of jumps at me as a need is for students who are Christian to give some consideration to a sense of mission calling to come do their student work in an area like this where they may be the only Christian on campus. That's very possible. We're putting a man into Ithaca County, one of our key, in Tompkins County, Ithaca, home of Cornell University, where there are 16,000 students. He has recently gone through the registration, and we found 8 Baptists registered as students. Out of 16,000 students in Cornell University. Now, it seems to me that a great mission investment would be for students who have grown up in the hot biscuit country and in the Bible Belt to possibly consider the possibility of going and being a campus missionary just by presence, assisting in campus ministry, and above all, giving a witness to Christ as a student. That is a tremendous need in our area.
Now, how many campuses, again, did you say you have in New York?
There are 280 campuses that we know of, I think, through the Beta Club.
And 1,300,000 students.
You know as well as I do that the whole future of Christianity rests in the hands of students such as these and the untouched millions that are on college campuses. And I see that as a great need.
How many summer missionaries did you have last summer? What are you working with?
Oh, we had the greatest group of summer missionaries. I say that every year. I always think that this group is the best we've ever had, and invariably the next year they're even better. Altogether, we had 116 students working in the convention territory. 96 of them came under the auspices of the Home Mission Board and BSUs, and the rest were freebies. They came on their own.
Did they pay their own way?
A number of them did,
They had local resources.
Churches, right? And the interesting thing about it is we didn't lose a single one. They all survived, all 116 of them. I will have to tell you one little quick story about that, though. We did have an evangelism team in New York City who sort of got ripped off. We sent them in to do a little evangelism and forewarned them when they went in. Seven times we told them, do not park your car on the
street. That's scriptural, by the way.
Yes, seven times. Do not leave your car unlocked. Do not leave anything in the car. And so they went in and parked their car and woke up the next morning, no hubcaps, no windows, no luggage, no money that they left in the car. It was a strange experience. And for some reason, they thought people were evil in New York. I don't know how they got that impression.
Phyllis, what do you assess as the responsibilities you have in the Department of Special Missions Ministries? Tell us a little bit about your work.
Okay.
And it'll have to be a little bit because I'm watching this watch.
All right.
It's not running, but it has a calendar on it.
I didn't think you knew me, Dr. Tanner. My husband and I are with the Special Mission Ministries Department of the Home Mission Board, and if students have any contact with the Home Mission Board, usually it is with our department, because we get to handle the summer missions project, and that's fun. Jack and I have enjoyed the working with volunteers all over in all kinds of areas. Part of our work, about half of it, is with volunteers. We do work with high school students who go out in groups. We do work with adult groups who go out, with retirees who are Christian Service Corps people. We work with innovators, sojourners, all these names that
innovators?
You don't know. The innovators are the ones who will go out as summer missionaries and work and support themselves. They might have to have a little bit more money than summer missionaries need, and they'll get a job waitressing, busing trays, whatever's necessary, and then plug into the mission work on the field, and we help them get the job and find a place to go where they can be helpful.
If they wanted to apply, is there material here at the conference?
Yeah, come down to the Global Village and we'll be glad to sign you up. We can work with you as a semester student. If you graduate early and want to go as a summer missionary during January or during the fall time and can't be during the summer, we'll work with you then. We'll handle almost any excuse. We have a brochure that's called 25 Ways at Least to Be a Missionary.
Let me interrupt you again. You said that you had places for these people to serve as innovators. Give me an illustration. What are you talking about?
For example, the Grand Canyon. You might go along having to pick up trash, however.
Top or bottom?
Top. Well, you never know. That's one of the places. And, of course, David just talked about Lake Placid.
Well, it's terrible in the bottom of the canyon. My soul, it's 125 degrees, isn't it, down there?
Or more cold in the night and hot in the day.
Go ahead, tell us. Now, they could work, but In the canyon, in the operation inside the park?
Get jobs with Fred Harvey Hotels.
Okay.
And this is one way to be a real witness to all the other people who are coming to work there.
Yeah.
Lots of times they want our people to come and work because they know that they're reliable.
And honest.
And honest. And if you're not, don't apply.
Go to New York if you're not honest. Let me ask you another question, Phyllis. What about summer missionaries? Now, what kind of assignments do they have? If a young person or a young adult wanted to do some summer mission work, what would you all have to offer?
Summer
them?
Missionaries do almost everything that the missionary can help them, right? And even better.
Huh? Sometimes they do a few things that missionaries can't do.
That's true.
I don't think we ought to pursue that part.
Summer missionaries do a wide variety of tasks. Some of them paint churches, lots of them preach, teach, visit, all those kinds of things, and minister in any kind of place. We have them in all 50 states, and there's over 1,000 who go out every summer. So you can go through BSU or through the Home Mission Board, work with a missionary, sometimes work by yourself, sometimes work in a group, And almost any talent you have can be used as a summer missionary.
How many dialects do we have above the American Indian? 90-something, isn't it?
No, we have about 375 different tribes, and that means 375 different languages and 375 different cultures.
What are you and Russell trying to do in Santa Fe to reach these different dialects, languages, cultures, and yet all under the big umbrella, and we think it's so very simple? It's not that simple, is it, Helen?
No, it isn't. My husband speaks Navajo, so he's able to relate to the Navajo people that live in Santa Fe and the students that are there attending two of the schools that's located right across the street from our church. All of our ministry is done in English. We are located in a Spanish neighborhood, so we do have an outreach to the Spanish people there. And we're learning Spanish slowly. We know how to say tacos and enchiladas and burritos and things. But it's very interesting because we learn so many cultures and so many traditions of all the Indian students that are there, plus the Indian families that live in Santa Fe.
What would you say is the greatest need of the language division or the language ethnic division of the Home Mission Board, language missions? More missionaries or?
Well, I would say there would probably people who are willing to serve in areas that would call for people who are very adaptable, very loving, very sacrificial, and wanting to become a part of the people that they are, not by losing their own identity, but by willing just to share Jesus, which would be the common bond.
You all have language work in New York, John. Tell us a little bit about some of the language work in the state and a little bit about what you're doing, per se.
Language ministry in our state is a very challenging ministry. As a matter of fact, probably, as far as church planting is concerned, more doors are open in that particular area than any other area. Both our current language program leader, who is a member of my staff, and the former who served, said that in all probability we could start a minimum of 100 new language congregations every year and not even breathe hard doing it, had we the leadership and the resource to do it. New York City, of course, is becoming an ethnic city. 1,000 Chinese enter the Port Authority every week. We have more Polish, almost more Polish-speaking people in New York City, for instance, than live in Warsaw. The Jewish population in New York City alone exceeds that in Tel Aviv itself. There are newspapers and other publications in about 58 to 60 languages every day, radio and television programs in more languages than that, including some programs solely for the deaf. I recently was in Brooklyn, Park Slope area, and I was amazed to be on a block, for instance, and hear nothing but Spanish spoken, cross the street, and on the next block hear nothing but Polish spoken, and go yet another block and be in a German community where if you don't sprechen Sie Deutsch, you're in heap big trouble. It's amazing to know that.
Did you understand?
That's Navajo. I did have a question for Helen about language missions that is relative to OBU. You have Taco Bell out your way? I understand that the students at OBU thought that was the New Mexico Telephone Company. Is that correct? And we appreciate a lot of fine things that Dr. Kaner did, which was get us one of those Taco Bells. It rings in the dorm whenever you're hungry and the kids slobber.
I think somewhere along the way the panel sort of dissipated itself and we lost the whole volume. I don't know exactly what's happened, but this is very interesting.
I can't finish my speech. I memorized this. I've got one more minute that I have to do. I interrupted it. In the responsibilities in addition to the language work.
Well, why don't you go ahead and
finish? Thank you so much. We have attempted to identify with our national bold mission thrust emphasis. When we began, we identified 30 counties in the territory of our convention that had no Southern Baptist witness.
We've entered six of those counties during the time of Bold Missions emphasis.
In 2 years.
We have identified more than 1,400 towns, cities, and villages across the state without an effective evangelistic witness. More than half of them without any kind of Baptist witness. Some of them without any Protestant church at all. I have some friends in real estate who shared with me information that in New York City and New York State, there are more than 3,000 church buildings that are empty and listed for sale, which indicate that a lot of small churches have just gone out of business in the last 20, 30 years. So with the 26 to 27 million people who live in these parts of three states, it's probably one of the great mission fields of the world, particularly in light of the fact that we joined with the Home Mission Board in a ministry to the UN community, and that represents the entire world who comes to our shores. It's a great mission field.
You'll hear a good bit about Bold Mission Thrust and what we're trying to do as an agency at the Home Mission Board in congregationalizing and evangelizing. Evangelizing is our goal, hopefully by the year 2000 and sooner if possible, to tell every person in our land about Jesus Christ. We want to do this. And the second goal is the thing that John alluded to, of congregationalizing. We've done some demographic studies off of the population increases and projected toward the year 2000. And if we keep pace, not if we accelerate the pace, but if we keep pace, in addition to the 35,000 Southern Baptist churches we now have, we'll have to double that number, or we'll have to increase that number by about 50%. We have to have at least 50,000 Southern Baptist churches by the year 2000. So that means that we have about 20 years to begin at least 15,000. That's just a bare minimum. If we're to even keep pace with the population increase that we feel is coming toward the year 2000. So I think it's very serious that we consider the opportunities we have. And I think most of you know we have nearly 3,000 missionaries under appointment. This includes all categories. Last year we used about 40,000 plus volunteers, and we hope to do that again this year. It is now, by this trusty watch, 12:07. Does anyone on the panel have a good word they want to say in wrapping up? David, you want to say anything?
To say something sensible this time. I would encourage each of you who ever have an opportunity to go into a pioneer area and do student work to take that opportunity, whether it's with a help team, whether it's as a semester missionary, on summer missions, or through the US 2 program. You take that opportunity. You're needed there. We have in our state 500,000 college students, and so many of the schools, maybe you should just even think about transferring and finishing a degree to find a place like at Ohio State and help us out.
Amen. Helen, what about a last word? If you want to say something to 3,000 and some odd.
Well, if any of you are interested in working with the American Indians, don't be afraid, because we're all civilized. And you don't have to know the language to be able to work with the Indians. I would just say that working with American Indians would be a very challenging work and very inspiring, and just having a heart full of Jesus Christ and wanting to share Him. That's the kind of missionaries that we would like to work with American Indians.
Well, Helen, you're correct. Most of them are civilized. This one I'm not sure about. John, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. One last statement. Go.
No. Thank you. I think the thing that I would like to say is that nobody in the Christian kingdom is a second-class missionary. The call to foreign missions is a unique call, and if God calls, you'd better go. The call to home missions is a unique calling, and if God calls, you'd better go. But all of you are called, and I think sometimes probably you need to think in terms of not shall I be a missionary, but think in terms that I am, and the question is, where shall I go do that? Come to New York.
Well said. We have 1 minute, Phyllis, so you have the 60 seconds.
Thank you.
In the 10 years that Jack and I have been missionaries, we have found the Home Mission Board to be very, very supportive of what we do. When we went to New York and worked in an apartment complex with 25,000 people in one block, we felt not alone, but a part of a team effort by all the Southern Baptists, and we were glad that we were there as the only church people in that whole block. When we went to the Indian Reservation, to the Hickory Apaches as pastoring, we felt again that we were part of a team effort, and we felt support from all of you in what we were doing, as we did Christian Social Ministries in New Mexico, and now working with volunteers and in resort missions in special mission ministries in a 12-state area. Again, we feel the support of the Home Mission Board and as part of all of Southern Baptists in what you're doing. We want to encourage you to take a chance and find out what you could do as a volunteer in Home Missions. We'll take on any excuse. We need you, and we'll find a place for you.
Thanks.